The story is told of three friends who went deer hunting together. One was a lawyer, the second was a doctor, and the third a preacher. As they made their way deep into the woods, the three men spotted a large buck grazing in an open meadow. Simultaneously, all three raised their rifles and shot. The mighty buck fell to the ground. The hunters smiled to each other, and each one said, "I got him." All three hunters made their way into the meadow to inspect the deer. But as they examined the prize, they couldn't figure out who actually killed the buck. A heated argument broke out. And a few minutes later, a game warden stopped by and asked the men what the problem was. The doctor informed the warden that they were debating over who had shot the buck, pointing out that all three had shot at the same time. The warden examined the deer, and within a few seconds he looked at the men and smiled. With an air of authoritative confidence, he announced, "It's obvious that the preacher shot this buck." Puzzled, the three asked the officer, "How could you tell?" The officer replied, "It's easy. The bullet went in one ear and out the other." You guys will have to thank Mike for that one. He passed that down to me. Well, I forgot a couple announcements that I got to cover before we get started. The first one was missions for VBS. You can see the poster out there that's all lit up, flashing, nice and fancy, that Miss Audrey has put together. And we are feeding the hungry this year, and you can look and check it all out. But basically, it comes down to one quarter provides one meal. And she wants everybody, not just the folks coming to VBS, to have the opportunity to donate to that. There is a little bowl out there, and if you would like to donate, feel free to drop it right in that bowl, and it'll get towards the proper cause. So I told her I would do that this morning, and I totally forgot. The other thing that I want to bring to everybody's attention that my wife pointed out to me that I'm kind of bad about is our church has a lot of social media. We have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, all that good fancy stuff, as well as a website. All of your VBS forms can be printed right off of our website. So utilize this stuff. It's good advertisement for us. It gets our name out and you know, tell others about it too. So I wanted to take a minute and just bring that up. So I also want to point out there's an insert in your bulletin this morning that looks like this. That's a list of the scriptures that I'm going to use today. God has tossed a lot of scripture at me this week, but like I told you last week, if I were to take the time to wait for everybody to flip to each of those scriptures, we would be here till 2 in the afternoon. So I'm going to probably go through those a little fast, but I want you to have this list so that you can take it home and look over those scriptures later if that's what you desire. God didn't give me the okay that I was finished until a little later yesterday, so I wasn't able to get those to the guys in the sound booth. So you're just going to have to deal with the list this morning. And if that happens again, I will try to provide you with a list in the future, because I know that's been a problem for some folks. Well, last week, we started to talk about a word that has a lot of meaning. That word was grace. We said grace is undeserved or unmerited favor. It's favor that we do nothing to earn or nothing to deserve. I also told you that I feel that this definition kind of cheapens the word just a little bit, because grace is a lot more powerful and a lot more complex than just that simple definition. And from there, we began to talk about sin. Sin shows us our need for Christ. It shows us our need for the grace that was poured out through Christ. So if we want to understand grace fully, we have to start by understanding sin. And we have to understand what sin does to us. So the first scripture this morning is Romans chapter 7. It's verses 7 through 9. says, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was once alive without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. So just like I told you last week, sin will affect every aspect of your life. And that brings us to the first point this morning. And the first point is this. Sin even affects the world around us. Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 say this. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and you have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat of the herb of the field. In Romans chapter 8, verses 20 through 22, it says, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Well, this past week, I really had the opportunity to think about Adam's sin as I was outside weeding my garden. We've had so much rain here lately that the weeds have taken over my garden. And it just seemed like every time I had the opportunity to weed it, it was raining. So they got way out of control when the day of reckoning had arrived. But I was in the garden pulling those stupid thistles that stick your fingers. Y'all know what I mean by a thistle, right? I despise those things, I have to tell you. But I couldn't help but think of the curse on the ground as a result of the first sin. You know, I fight with those stupid thistles every year. I pull them up by the root and they just keep coming back. I don't know if I'm not getting all the root or what the problem is. But so often we forget that this is the result of sin. The ground is cursed because of sin. It seems strange to think that sin has had an effect on my garden, but it has. So as I was weeding, I was thinking about how every single one of us, in one form or another, we labor just to exist in this world. And that, too, is the result of sin. So I figure I probably lost two-thirds of you, because now you're thinking about how you have to go back to work tomorrow. But the second point this morning is this. Sin can affect our relationships with others. I read something the other day that I thought was so true. It said, when it comes to the commands of God, everyone is looking for something different. Some look for divine guidance. Some look for a standard to live by, while others simply look for loopholes. And it seems like this happens in various aspects of our life. When it comes to our relationships, we tend to look for those loopholes as opposed to treating people the way we know we should and doing the right thing. In Exodus chapter 20, verses 12 through 17, you should recognize some of these. It says, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord has given you. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, we read, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but that through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware, lest you be consumed by one another." You know, as I thought about this, after all this time, we still haven't figured out how to treat each other. Our relationships are still affected by sin. I want to give you some marriage statistics this morning, but I feel like I should offer the disclaimer here because good statistics are hard to come by, and you know what it's like trying to find statistics. But I did my best to ensure that they were accurate, but I can't make any guarantees. So if you find out they're a little off, I apologize in advance. I did my best. But I want to tell you a little bit about a Barna study. It's a little older. It's from March 2008. And it said that most Americans get married at some point in their life. Just 1 in 5 adults are never married. 1 in 5. Among those who have said their wedding vows, 1 out of 3 have been divorced at least once, according to the study. So among adults who have been married, 33% have experienced at least one divorce. That means that among all of America, everyone 18 years or older, that 25% have experienced divorce. Whether they've been married or not, all the population, 25% have gone through a marital split. I found that to be pretty interesting. That seemed like a pretty high percentage to me. Of those married, 33% have experienced divorce. I found another website, and it's a little strange. It offers real-time death statistics for the year, for 2015. I don't want you to think that I'm some kind of morbid weirdo. I promise that this has a point. So I want to share some of this information with you, and I think you'll understand why. But these numbers are from within the United States just this year so far, from January 1st till now. And this was as of Saturday, because like I said, it's real time. As of Saturday at 9 a.m., 324,430 people have died of cancer in the U.S. 18,946 people have died due to drunk driving accidents. And 14,013 have died of some form of drug abuse. 9,451 have died as a result of homicide. 6,441 of those homicides involved a gun. 1,553 people right here in the United States this year died of malnutrition. 818 died from domestic violence. And I want you to pay close attention to the next two and tell me which one of these gets more attention in our society. So far this year in the United States, 3,369 people have died texting while driving. But 614,349 babies have been aborted. Did you ever think about how it's illegal to text and drive, but perfectly acceptable to kill an unborn child? For every one death that is caused by texting while driving, 183 children are murdered. Yet it seems like texting gets a lot more attention. Now, I'm not saying that we should be able to text and drive, and I'm not saying that those 3,300 lives are not important. I'm saying that as a country, it seems like our priorities might be a little whacked. Let me give you another example. We have all had an encounter with cancer, whether it be us personally, a friend, a relative. I'm sure that every person in this room has been touched by cancer in some way. I've had several people in my immediate family die of cancer. When we have twice as many unborn children being aborted than we have people dying of cancer, that just seems odd to me. If we've all been touched by cancer, then certainly you would think we would have been touched by abortion, right? The bottom line is, sin is everywhere, and we still haven't figured out how to treat each other. Sin affects our relationships, from how we act in our marriage to how we value human life. Sometimes I think we choose to hide our head in the sand to avoid this reality. 1 Timothy 6:7 says this, "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we'll carry nothing out." And it seems to me that as a culture, we've become so self-centered as a result of sin that relationships really don't matter. We adopt that mentality of it's all about me. We tend to use relationships for our own personal gain. Our relationships are damaged because of sin. That brings us to the third point this morning that I want to make. Sin has an effect on the sinner before God. The first thing I want you to see under this point is this. God sees all of your sin. Genesis chapter 3, verses 9 through 11 say this. "Then the Lord God called to Abraham and said to him," called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not?" And Jeremiah 16, 17 says, "For my eyes are on all of their ways. They are not hidden from my face, nor is there an iniquity hidden from my eyes." And how about John chapter 4, verses 16 through 18, when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well? Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." You know, we can speculate what was really going on in this example, because the reality is we're not given a lot of detail, so all we can really do is speculate. But one thing we know for sure is that particular situation was not hidden from Jesus. He knew exactly what was going on in this woman's life. He knew the intimate details. You know, from Adam until our fathers, we've not been able to hide our sin from God. And this morning, I want you to know that you and I can't either. We cannot hide our sin from God. He sees it all. So often we think that we can do something in secret and no one's going to know. God knows what you do when others aren't looking. You might be able to hide your actions from men, but you can't hide them from God. Let me tell you something else. Every one of us will stand before God in judgment. And you say, "Wait a minute. I'm a Christian. I won't be judged." And I say, "Yes, you will." And I'm going to take a minute to show you how I know this is true. Here's what Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12 say. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 through 15 says this, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work, which has been built on it, endures, it will receive reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I want you to understand this morning that I'm not trying to use scare tactics, but God is going to hold me accountable too. And I'll be in hot water if I'm not standing in front of you saying, Christians, you will stand before God and answer for what you've done with what you've been given in this life. The excuses will be stripped away. They'll be burned up. You might be able to come up with an excuse to throw around to men, but God's going to strip all that away. Everything that doesn't have eternal value will be gone, and you will stand before God with only the things that made a difference for His kingdom. I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand in front of my Heavenly Father and hear those words, Darren, why didn't you? I gave you this opportunity and you didn't take advantage of it. Why? I think sometimes we gloss over this and we don't want to give it any thought. Hebrews chapter 4 verses 13 says this, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him whom we must give account. This morning, I want you to take a minute and think about this. Don't just gloss over it. Think about it. Imagine what that would be like if today you were called home and now you stand before Christ without a worldly excuse, because all those are gone. Your true work, your true motives are on display like an art exhibit, laid out before Him, and you have to give account. I don't know about you, but I don't want to suffer loss in the kingdom of God. The last thing I want to cover under this point is real simple. All this sin that we've been talking about for the last 2 weeks separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear you. And Romans 8:5-8, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things according to the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is subject to the law of God. Excuse me, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are of the flesh cannot please God. Sin causes a separation from God that can only be reconciled one way. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. No one comes to the Father except through me. Will you all stand with me this morning? I ask that as you stand, you just bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. And I want to talk to you just a little bit more. Next week, we're going to talk about the grace that was offered through Jesus. We're going to talk in depth about it. But today, I hope that you realize that sin is the barrier that separates us from God. And sin is what separates us from the completeness of God's love. Maybe you're here today and you're one of those people who doesn't understand the love that Christ has poured out for each one of us. If that's you, I want you to listen. Because the love that is offered through Christ will change your life if you let it. What you need to know is that Jesus loved each and every one of us so much that he was willing to die. The Bible says that every one of us have sinned. We have violated God's law. And that sin separates us from God. And the penalty for sin is death. But Jesus died to pay the penalty for your sins and mine so that we didn't have to. And that 3 days later, he rose from the grave, conquering death. And the Bible says that if we'll believe that with all of our heart and confess it with our mouth, that we'll be saved. We'll be saved from hell and eternal separation from God. You can take care of that right here this morning. You can leave here today and know without question that you're heaven bound. Today can be the day that you can begin a relationship with Christ. And he'll begin to lead you one day at a time. Maybe today your relationship is off in some form or another, and you feel God tugging on your heart saying, hey, it's time to fix this or time to fix that. Today's the day. Don't wait. I'm going to pray, and this altar is going to be open to you. I'd love to pray with you if you want me to. All you have to do is ask. If you don't know Christ and you want further explanation, hey, you let me know and I'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you. But otherwise, I'm going to leave you alone. Father, we come before you humble. We recognize that you are our Creator and you are all-powerful. We know that the world we live in is full of sin and full of temptation. And we know that, Father, you're just one prayer away right now today. We ask that if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know you, Lord, that you would just wrap your arms around them, Lord, and just show them your love this morning. And Father, if you desire to make changes in this body of believers this morning, we just pray that you would convict, you would direct, that you would instruct where necessary. We pray that you would work in hearts this morning. It's in Jesus' name we come to you. Amen.